I conduct my own.
Yes. Well, welcome everyone to Sped Homeschool Conversations. This is our weekly broadcast put on by Sped Homeschool, and we talk about things that are related to special education and homeschooling. And this month, our focus is electives. So all those non-core things that oftentimes we forget are important. And so we're going to focus this whole month on just how to make those a bigger priority than just the reading, writing, and math, which a lot of times we find our kids struggle with. And tonight, my special guest is Oswaldo Colello. That's a tongue twister. And he is with Mr. C's Music Academy, or Homeschool Music Academy. And we're going to talk tonight about just incorporating electives into your special education homeschool, and just how do we do that? What's involved? And he, Oswaldo, has a really good personal story too, to back up his experience as a teacher and as a parent and a new homeschool dad, which I just found out. We're going to talk a lot about all that, but I do want to start out by thanking RightShop. They are sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations, and we just want to thank them for that. As a nonprofit, we are sponsored by donors like you, our viewers, and by our partners. And so, RightShop, thank you for that. And we'll hear more from them in the middle of this conversation. But we also want to hear from you. So if you're watching and you want to be part of this conversation, you have questions about electives or just something that we're talking about, you want to make a comment or have a question that Oswaldo can answer, then put it up, and we'd love to include that in our conversation tonight. So thank you so much for joining us, Oswaldo, and just taking time out of your busy schedule. Like you said, you've been live a lot lately.
Yes, all day, beginning of the school year. Hi, everyone, by the way. Hello, my name is I'm Oswaldo Colello, also known as Mr. C, by my students, and I'm part of Mr. C's Homeschool Music Academy. But pretty busy, started the new school year, and I do happen to teach, my profession is teaching general music. Okay. Also privately, I also do private teaching as well. But yes, and now I am a homeschool parent. Okay, so I'm very excited. My wife and I both are very, very excited about that.
Yeah. That's really neat. Yeah, and you know, and those anxieties, as even as a teacher, you know, coming into homeschooling, a lot of people think, well, you know, if you're a teacher, you have a teaching certificate, then this homeschooling thing should just be easy, shouldn't it? It tends to all throw us for a loop because it's completely different.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, the thing is, to separate teacher and parent is really doesn't make sense to me, actually. Mm-hmm. You teacher, when you're a parent, you're a teacher. Okay,
exactly.
They go hand in hand. So that's the way I've always felt.
That is so true. And we forget that because we classify a teacher as somebody who's been trained, and yet we've been training our kids. I think somebody said to me the other day, well, you train your kids how to tie their shoes, how to, you know, use the restroom, eat, and, you know, all these other things. Why is it difficult to teach them math?
Yeah.
Or anything else?
No. Well, you know, I mean, all the different subjects can be confusing sometimes, you know, on what to do. Sometimes it's just, you know, mastering your technique, you know, what works for your child, knowing your child. And, you know, I always feel like homeschool parents have a very great advantage because they know their child since birth, you know, and they know a lot of their habits. They know a lot about them. And there's even the unexplained bond that you can't really put into words that a parent would have with their child. So they're really in a good position to teach more than they would think sometimes, you know, and I can speak that from my own. My own experience as well. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. So that is so true. Yeah. We forget that too easily. Thank you for reminding us. So we're going to talk about special education. And I know that you have a bit of a personal story with how just you're passionate for helping students that struggle. And just how does that tie into your own personal story?
Okay. Well, you know, I do have a background with special education. I did work. I did have some experience working with special needs, kids with special needs, from 2 years old, actually, even
Wow.
from an early intervention youth autism program. So I've done that. But more than that, you know, I see the I see the you know, when we say disadvantage, you know, that's kind of a weird statement for me because I mean, I can say from my own personal story, I have had experienced some kind of disadvantage. You know, it's not that I was special needs, but I did have an attention to focus when I was that was caught on in elementary school. And you know, one of the things that they used to have was, you know, they called it resource room when I was in
Right, I
elementary.
remember that,
They used to have resource room, so I had one-on-one time with the teacher. If you ask me what the teacher's name was back in those days, I completely forget. However, it was such a great help, and you know, just through my own academic experiences, a lot of times I felt frustrated. A lot of times, you know, I still didn't, you know, even though I was better at focusing a little bit, I still wasn't always making the grade, so to speak. You know, so for me, finding music, and that's what I do. You know, again, I'm a music teacher. Finding music was the help that I needed. That's and I didn't know it either. I just knew that I was interested in it. That's what that ultimately is what kind of saved my academic career and brought a lot of connections, brought a lot of things together, put it together for me like a puzzle. You know, it was just that missing piece, you know, that I needed. And you know, for me, music has been my passion, and now, you know, I love that I can share it. You know, now I love that I can, you know, whoever I come across, you know, through professional, unprofessional, whatever, I still, you know, in some way, shape, or form, I'm using music as that catalyst to help, you know, with other things, with a lot of different things. It has such a deep connection to other subjects as well, you know.
I love that word, the words you use, missing piece. And because really that, I mean, that's what we're looking for those kids that struggle and all those things that, you know, we want to make them fit into these molds, except we have such unique kids, and it is that missing piece that we need to disconnect, and it will connect everything. And I love that music has been that for you. And I know it with different kids, it's different things. And we're going to talk a lot about, you know, just how do we figure that out too, because that's not an easy thing. So that gives you a lot of empathy though. In working with students, you know, what can you share with parents about working with a student who struggles and pulling from your own empathy to help you be a stronger teacher and an advocate, you know, to them, but also encourager as well.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't like to look at, I don't like to look at, you know, a lot of parents, you know, and I can say this from experience. A lot of parents will come to me, you know, I've spoken with other parents that in times past they, you know, they felt like, well, I've done this and I've done that and I've looked into this and I've looked into that and I just don't know what to do anymore. That I've had those conversations, you know, and you know, and it's and sometimes and a lot of times it really is disheartening. I see parents who just feel overwhelmed, so overwhelmed, they break down and cry in front of me, things like that, you know, and I feel for them. But what I try to explain to them is we don't look at what can you do further, you know, as a parent.
That's a
It,
good
you know,
point.
you don't you don't continue, you know, yeah, you search for different solutions, you search for different ways, okay? And then it's just really what you have, what every parent and, you know, every teacher should think is that it's a matter of time. Try out. It's about experimentation. Try out. As a teacher, I've had to experiment, many different ways. From my first year of teaching, just from my first year of teaching, mm-hmm. I learned one of the key factors that my students, I used to let them pick their seating. I'd have my seating, it's just something as simple as that.
Right.
I would let them pick their seating. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they would come in, I'd say, good morning. They would pick their, and then what I found out, what I saw right away is that they used to fight over seats. They used to, they yell at each other. I sat here first. No. And, that a lot of time would take a lot of time just getting settled, when it really should be 1, 2, 3. So, after that first school year, then I decided, okay, this is where I went wrong.
Hmm.
I need to assign seats. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I need to assign seats. Like, in other words, it's no negotiation. Wherever I put mm-hmm. you, that's where you're going to sit. That's where, okay. And I don't mean literally physically, but
right.
whatever seat I assign you, that's where mm-hmm. you're going to sit. They had to learn the routine, and
yes.
that's part of the routine, so mm-hmm. it's something little like that. And as we know, elementary students, they thrive on routine. They need routine as early
yes.
as pre-K. As early as pre-K, they need routines, and you get to see how they really need it even all throughout. As they grow older, they need a certain routine. And why? Because they have to have a foundation, a basis, for everything. And once they
mm-hmm.
learn the routine, it becomes regular, like the back of their hand. And after a while, it starts with the foundation, and
mm-hmm.
then they get to choose, but they know how to. And then they know how to choose. So they get to middle school, and say the teacher is, more lenient on picking your seat, for example.
Yeah.
Then they know how to do it without incident, without
mm-hmm.
other issues,
mm-hmm.
So
they have a certain amount of boundaries.
Oh yeah.
They've kind of grown into understanding the boundaries, where when they're younger, it's like the sky's the limit.
Right.
But I think that's a really good point for parents who are homeschooling too.
Yeah.
I mean, having those really strict boundaries when they're younger
mm-hmm.
is important. Because we want to train our kids to be able to teach, be independent learners, but it's
mm-hmm.
not going to happen when they're in first grade.
Right.
And
right.
I mean, that's that is so true.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So, but I guess coming back to as far as encouragement, it's
mm-hmm.
it's trial and error. It's, so I can say that even just as an electives teacher, trial and error has to continue to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, set boundaries, rules and expectations, let them look at it, recite it, just a recitation of that on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get to know that, then eventually they find who they are through that discipline, and
right.
they get to do it on their own more independently after that, and
mm-hmm.
make the right choices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's really good, because we can kind of leave it way too open with electives instead
mm-hmm.
of, giving a few choices. And letting them choose from those couple of things. But I love that you're focusing on, that it is trial and error, because I think a lot of times we think that, these teachers in the schools, they know everything. They like have their lesson plans laid out. But yet you talk to special ed teachers and a lot of teachers just in general, and it is trial and error. And with every new group of students that comes in, it's a whole new
experience.
Thing.
Yeah.
So that's encouraging. I mean, it is. It's and our working with our own kids. I think maybe before we even started the broadcast, you were saying, you know your child better than anybody else, and you've had them since the beginning, and so you probably know more on how to try and what not to.
Right.
So.
But that doesn't mean that the challenges don't come. Exactly. The challenges will still be there,
yes,
you know,
yes.
because there's always there's always a different level. There's always a, they grow into a different stage,
yes.
So it's, mm-hmm. yeah. So challenges come, you have to be willing to be flexible, willing to try it. If it doesn't work, you try something else and be okay with it. Be okay that, okay, that didn't work. We try something else. And the interesting thing about trying something else, a lot of times, you know, we can plan, and I'm a firm believer in planning. You know, I have my lesson plans, I look at curriculum, and I build my lesson plans, I do everything step by step. But a lot of times, things are incidental. You know, things that things can become very incidental. A happy accident, I like to call it. I like to call it a happy accident. I explain to my students a lot. It's a lot in the way music happens, actually. You know, you could think of you can go as far back as early as possible. And I love to tell this to my students. You know, the moment I like to make fun. You know. You know, it's false, but I was like, you know, the first caveman, you know, I'll do the little ooga sound, you know, like, and they'll laugh, you know, and you know, they hit their club against a piece of wood, you know, and out came a sound, and they liked it. And they're like, oh, and then I'll do the caveman voice, me likey, you know. It's a lot of fun, you know, but then they tried, you know, and then they tried to replicate it, you know, they tried to replicate that sound, you know, now they tried it twice. Oh, they tried it three times, you know, and they tried it a little differently, you know, and then the purpose of music, they tried to replicate it and continued to do it. So once they had that nice, happy little accident, they tried to do it over and over again. They wanted to see if they could do it over and over again. And guess what? Right. They could. That's why music, that's why we have the music that we love today. Because once they had that happy accident, they practiced it. So, you know, so that usually gets a lot of eye openers, and, you know, and then still continue laughs as well, you know, because they do the voice again, Mr. C.
I'm out. You make things fun. It's, you know, everything's better when it's fun. So, definitely. Well, we as parents, I probably just need to learn to loosen up a little bit. I know I've learned that a lot from my children over the last 18 years. But you made a really interesting point that I wanted to point out is that oftentimes core subjects, we start out with structure.
Yeah.
When we start out with elective subjects, we often start with the creativity and then build in the structure. Mm-hmm. You know, and so allowing students to explore and to have that hands-on, that creative experience before making it is too concrete can help a lot of the kids that struggle, because a lot of kids that struggle tend to be very left brain dominant. That creative side does not, when you're learning to read, you're not using that a whole lot. And when you're learning math, you're not using it a whole lot. And so all these things that they struggle in, they find these activities that say, ooh, that creative part of you is good. Uh-huh. And I love that. So, yeah. It struck me when you said that. I thought, oh yeah, that's exactly why it is. And being able to continue to encourage that creativity, because we can lose that really easily as adults, can't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, you know, we discover that creativity that's there, you know. At the same time, we have to make that connection with the structural part as well, you know. And that's another thing that I tell my students is that, you know, music is creative. Yeah, happy accidents happen, right? But then the need to replicate, the need to bring that sound back that they liked so much. Oh, the question is, how do we do that? Now we gotta go by structure. Now we gotta look at the structure and see how we did that. And then through the regimen of repetitious practice, that's really it. Right. Repetitious practice, that, you know, that is the structure in itself, you know, and even the way you repeat practice. So like, for example, I always relate this to sort of a map. Okay. Mm-hmm. If we want to get, you know, geographically, if we want to get from point A to point B, right, then in order to get there, you know, we might use the map, we'll follow the map, and we'll take the path that's there. Mm-hmm. After a while, of course, you discipline yourself to still taking that same path to appropriately get to where you're going. Mm-hmm. Okay, and music is like that. So, in other words, I always tell my students, you know, I'm not getting, you know, they say, I'm not getting this part. Every time I come over here, every time I come to the middle part of the song, I'm not getting this. You know, I'm having so much trouble. You know, and, you know, and they display their frustration in the most dramatic ways. You know,
right, of course.
But I feel them too at the same time. I totally understand because I was there. You know, I was like, ooh, I can't get this either. You know, right. But what I found most of the time is what they're lacking. Okay, and I even learned this from my professors. Hmm. Until college to understand this. Okay. But meanwhile, I can see how in high school when I was really into music and, you know, I was doing it, what my professor said, but, you know, it didn't come to me. So one thing that she told me, and this is in college, trying to get through my piano exam, which included 24 different songs that I had to be
in.
Yeah.
For someone that can only play with one hand.
I had to learn 24 different songs for my piano test so that I can student teach. Okay. Wow. I had to be proficient in piano. And if I got anything below a B, they wouldn't let me teach. You know, even if my loan was paying for the credits and everything, they would not let me teach until I passed, you know. So I was having a lot of trouble and getting through 24 different songs, you know, because what I would do in my regimental practice, I would be practicing one song like maybe five times, and then I moved to the next song, and then I would be practicing that about five or four times. And, you know, if I was good, I would practice it a few times and then move on to the next. So slowly but surely, I was getting down to my list, but not all the way. Okay. So she said, she's like, well, it's been such and such amount of time. Have you gone through all your songs? And I said, well, no, I'm still going over song number 10, you know? and she's like, so you haven't gone through all your songs yet? You know, how are you with your other songs? Honestly, I'm having a hard time, you know, and she goes, so you've practiced song number 10 about how many times now? Well, I did it about five times just now. And you haven't gotten to your other songs yet? No. You're practicing wrong. She tells me, you're practicing. Mm. You know, I said, well, what do I do? She's like, you kind of know the rest of your songs because you've gone over them at least once, right? Yeah. Okay, go back to the beginning. Go to the first song in the test, okay? Because in the test, they're just gonna test you your proficiency on all the songs in that order, okay? Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And she said, okay, start from the first song, go all the way, go, just play it once. Play the first song once. I'm like, once? But I still have trouble. Listen, be quiet, listen. Practice, yeah, you know, sometimes I'll be like, but you know, you have to tell me to be quiet. That's the only way I'll listen. You know? She's like, so listen. Go through every song once. Go all the way down the list, all 24 songs, okay? It doesn't matter if you mess up in the middle. You mess up, just keep playing through it, okay? Keep going. Once you get to song number 24, go back to the beginning of the first song and do the same thing again and do that about 20 times. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, that's going to work. Really? But even if I haven't... She said, be quiet, listen. She's very tough on me. She's very tough, you know. Just be quiet and listen to me. Do each song once, go through the entire list, and then go back to the beginning again and do it again. Just do it about 20 times a day, okay? Then after that, put it away. Don't look at it for the next day. The next day, do it another 20 times, okay? So, you know, part of me still didn't listen. I would do it like 40, 60 times. I was really like, you know, I really wanted to get this. But I found that doing that really reinforced my muscle motor memory, okay? Yes. Fine motor skills. Uh-huh. It reinforced that, like typing, you know? Mm-hmm. Piano is the same way. It's very similar in that way. Mm-hmm. So I had to do that. Over and over, you know, I had to do my 20 times a day, sometimes 40 times a day, you know, because I was really pressured. I needed to pass that test. But I did that and my muscle motor memory kicked in. I found that a lot of the songs I was having deficits in, I was getting so much better because I didn't stop you know, I didn't stop in the middle of a song. I didn't repeat something. I was holding myself from getting from point A to point B. That's the idea. So, so a lot of times it's so, you know, and that thought, that idea is just so, it's like, really, that's all I needed to do. It's actually so simple. I mean, it's hard doing it, but when you get there, when you start to do it, then you realize, man, I was doing this. I was making it harder on myself the entire time.
Well, you were trying to be perfect.
Yeah, exactly. But in doing so, that was my enemy. Yeah, that was my enemy. So I tell my students the same thing. Well, they only have to worry about one song, right? Yeah. So I said, you keep stopping in the, you know, now I'm tough like my professor. You keep stopping in the middle of that. Yeah, every time I get here, I always mess up. So I start from the beginning. I'm like, no. What did I tell you?
Because it trains you to stop to make the mistake right there.
Exactly. So you never get past the wall that you've created there. That's that dead end. You've never gone past it. So you have to go through it to make the mistakes regardless, because eventually through those repetitions, your muscle motor memory kicks in, or even with singing, and everything. That's the thing. I found that, you know, that it's the way we study for a spelling test, you know. You know, we had 20 words, you know, and then our spelling test was on Friday, so you better have them memorized. Uh-huh. What did we do? We recited our 20 words about 20 times, you know, looking at it. And then when you did your 20 times, okay, time for 21. Number 21, you turn it over. You turn that sheet over, test to see if you got it. Test yourself if you got it.
That's a really good life skill to have across the board, because I know when people teach writing, they tell you, write through your mistakes, you know, misspell the words. You can't get the creative part out if you keep stopping at the technical.
Right.
And there's so many other things. It's like when you record a video, I don't know, you know, when you first did video, did you keep stopping yourself? I finally just realized live is like the best, because I can't stop, and I have to force myself to just push through those times when I can't think of the right word or anything else.
Exactly. But when you're trying to record it, you're just trying to get it perfect, and then you're trying to, you know, okay, cut, print, okay, we're good, you know, and then, so I've had, you can ask my wife, too, you know, you hear some loud, you know, I'm upstairs, I have this room is where I do all my music and teaching and all that, and so, you know, she can tell you many times, she hears these loud noises, I'm like, darn it, I gotta start over again, you know. She'll look up like, he's messing up again.
That's funny.
So I think
Bud is joining us. He said, interesting. Thanks for watching, Bud.
That's my friend Bud. Hello. Awesome. She's a she. Yeah. Oh. Hello, Bud. Awesome. Nice to see you here. Thank you for joining.
At least it's a name I can pronounce. Sometimes we have guests and I'm like, I'm probably massacring your name as I say it.
No, really. No, when I first found out Bud was a female, I was like, you usually think of, hey, Bud.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't tell you that, Bud. I'm sorry. I still love you. I still love you.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor, and then I'm going to have Oswaldo come back. We're going to talk about just like picking curriculum or, you know, just electives and how to discern where are your students at, what to kind of go through as far as trying to figure out what's going to be best for them and as a parent, as a student, and a whole bunch of questions like that. So I'll let you take a break, and I'm going to read a little something from our sponsor, Write Shop. So I just want to thank you, Write Shop, for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. And like I said at the very beginning, we are a nonprofit, and so we have sponsors that support our efforts to empower parents to homeschool to teach special education at home, and also donors like you. You can donate on our website as well. So you can go to spedhomeschool.com to find out more about that. But Write Shop is a writing curriculum, and So they say, how are your homeschool and writing lessons going for you lately? Are there tears of frustration or long minutes of staring at a blank piece of paper because I don't know what to write about? Well, here's the solution. WriteShop curriculum. Finally, a writing program that understands the challenges of teaching writing. WriteShop has options for kindergarten all the way through high school. With engaging step-by-step lessons, WriteShop gives students the necessary building blocks for the writing process so there's zero frustration. And WriteShop not only teaches kids how to write, it shows you how to teach. So you'll learn to guide them through the writing process and inspire even the most reluctant writers. Parents rave about the results. Sherry in Florida said, I'm so pleased with WriteShop. My eighth grader, who is lukewarm about writing and really didn't write too well, is blossoming. And Haley in California says, thank you so much for creating WriteShop. It's been a pleasure to teach this curriculum and the results are phenomenal. Our son went from hating writing to asking for more. So visit WriteShop.com to take the placement test and to find out which level best suits your child, tween or teen. With WriteShop, teaching writing has never been easier. And so we just want to thank you, WriteShop, for that sponsorship. And definitely check out what they have to offer. I know they have some freebies. If you check out our, we have a free online conference right now, and they have some free downloadables on there in the vendor hall. So check that out. So we're going to bring Oswaldo back and continue talking about incorporating electives into special education and just so much good information you have to share with us. I've really enjoyed this conversation already.
Thank you.
So I'm looking at my questions that I sent you. So let's talk about advice for families. And, you know, if they're thinking, well, I want to add an elective, but how do I go about figuring out what we should try this year? Wow. You know, do our kids give us any clues, or are there things that, I don't know, are there some just general, I mean, music definitely as a starting point relates to a whole lot. So what advice would you have for parents just saying, well, we'd like to add something, but I don't even know what and or how?
Well, a course that I created of Mr. C's Homeschool Music Academy, Mission Music, and just in general, what I've learned as a teacher, you know, most of the time, especially this works in private setting, in private teaching is very, very similar to homeschooling. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at that. And because you're going, you know, first of all, you're actually going to the child's home. That for most teachers, that's the way I did. I did my side business. I do private lessons in their home. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there was a time when I went to a center and I had private students come to me. So okay. I was working for that place, you know, but still in a way, one of the things I always did was, you know, started off by asking the student, you know, what kind of music genres are they interested in? What style of music? Yes. What music do you listen to? You know, mm-hmm. things like that, you know? And so that's some of the things that I always teach, you know, ask your child what they like. And, mm-hmm. and that can go as far as anything, you know, what do you think you're interested in? Do you like art? Do you like soccer? You know, what sports do you like? Mm-hmm. You know, because all of it really, you know, physical education, art, music, you know, all of those things incorporate a well-rounded academic mm-hmm. environment. Okay. So we never discount anything because all the special classes, all the specials classes, they reinforce the core subjects. You know, that right. I'm a firm believer in that, and I always prove that in my lessons with my mm-hmm. students. But you know, you always want to encourage just conversation with your mm-hmm. with your student, mm-hmm. with your child. Always want to, you know, get their feedback and make it so that they're comfortable always doing that. You know, you want to provide that kind of environment, you know, what do you like? And so that they're able to answer, they're able to honestly tell you without feeling like, you know, it's a secret or they have right. to, you know, uh-huh. that's really where you get to know them the most. And, you know, for one thing, it strengthens your rapport with your child, with your student, it allows them to be able to trust you. You know,
yes.
You know, you develop that trust.
So true.
You know, they say, you know, I can say I like this, and you know, my dad, my mom, they're not going to get mad at me, you know,
uh-huh.
or they're not going to say this is, you know. So the reality is, we're not trying to choose for them. We're trying to get as much feedback as possible, their honest opinion as to mm-hmm. what they would like to try, you know, because they could have seen something on TV, they could have seen something on YouTube that really inspired them. You would never know it because maybe, not because necessarily they were afraid to tell you, but you know, the conversation never came up.
Mm-hmm.
So you're never going to know unless you ask them. And what's awesome, it gives you the opportunity to, in a structural way as well.
Mm-hmm.
I always say this, take notes, everything that they say, come up with questions, just like you did for me for this interview. Yeah, come up with questions before the interview, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's really what it is. And then you're collecting data. Okay, he says he likes this, she likes that, you know, just write it all down, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's kind of like a very basic concept too, just to, in planning and planning lessons and, you know, and all of that. You know, I teach through my business, Mr. C's Homeschool Music Academy, I teach parents how to teach music. Okay. But at, you know, and I always say it still always goes along with anything that they're learning.
Mm-hmm.
So, when it comes to these electives, you know, just don't make it as, I would say to parents, don't make it as something that you have to choose for them. Okay. Let them, you know, let them in that organized way, make the choice, let them
mm-hmm.
verbalize and you know, cognitively think, okay, you know, what would I be good, what would I like to try, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because we really, honestly, we really don't know what we're good at until we do it, you know.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
that is what I would say, you know, parents, you know, ask your children, honestly ask them,
mm-hmm.
and try to get as much feedback from them as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them might be shy. So, you know, what I would say is, you know, observe them carefully. Observe
yeah.
the things that they do, you know, because they might be shy about saying it, but eventually, because talents,
mm-hmm.
the revealing of talents is always incidental. You know, it's always incidental. And I just as I said
right.
before, all of a sudden, you know, incidentally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So-and-so hummed a song and everything was on pitch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Funny story about that. I didn't know my grandfather, God rest his soul, but I didn't know, on my father's side, I didn't know that he actually was a good singer. It never really mm-hmm. occurred to me, you know, and, you know, I thank God, first of all, and thank my discipline in music for not letting me able to not hear everything. as a musician, you hear everything. You can't,
yeah.
you can't help it. You know. So one day I hear him humming something, some random melody in the kitchen while cooking. He loved to cook. He always loved to cook, and you know, I loved eating his food. But I never noticed how on pitch he was, and by trade he was a carpenter. You know, that was his trade. So he was very manly. You know, so I never looked at him as a singer. I never looked at him like you know, he would appreciate arts. And you know, one day he was just you know,
wow.
I was like, wow, that sounds actually really good. I said, you like to sing, Grandpa? He's like, yeah, you know, I'm almost done with dinner. Okay, leave me alone. You know, so that really surprised me. But that's just, you know, it's a funny happening that, you know, really rang true for me when it came to my own experience with my own children and my own students. You know, a lot of students I would get would straight up tell me, you know, I'd ask them, what kind of music do you like? I don't know. what kind of songs would you like to work on? I don't know. You know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so you have to probe a little further, you know, sometimes, and even if all the probe, so you might have to find certain questions that might get mm-hmm. them to say, and if that doesn't work, then watch, observe everything they do carefully. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, they'll, eventually, something has to be revealed. Accident happens where you see, oh yeah, you know, could be good at hockey. She mm-hmm. could be great at football. You know, you know. Right. All of a sudden, you find the talent somewhere. It emerges, mm-hmm. and then and then you go full blast. You know, you go, mm-hmm. you go for it, and they'll thank you later for it.
And that you use that word again, try. And I love that. So, you know, yeah, just asking them those questions, observing, I'm kind of reviewing what you just said succinctly is, you know, asking, reviewing, trying, and, you know, putting things in front of them too, you know,
right.
and probing. What more? And asking those right questions, those leading questions, not mm-hmm. Would you like to choose this option or this option I have to give you? Instead, you know, digging more and letting them reveal it. I love that because they have so much to teach us about themselves.
Yeah.
And we can make so many assumptions about our children. And when we do that, we kind of close doors. That they can definitely do way more than we can sometimes give them credit for.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely want to, you know, we definitely want to never limit them, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's a different learner. They're, you know, everyone's a different learner, but that doesn't mean worse or better. Mm-hmm. It just means that, you know, there's a time. There's a mm-hmm. time, you know, when it's going to happen, and you know always be hopeful that it'll be soon, you know, and it will be it'll come before you know it, you know. That's what I've learned.
So I got a question for you, and sure. this balance of trying mm-hmm. but yet also not giving up. So a parent is going to say, okay, we've kind of discovered what that possible area of interest is. Now I want to commit to about a semester at least. Mm-hmm. How do I keep my student on this task for this semester and show them that they need to really stick with it so they can figure out if this really is something instead of just trying it for 2 days and saying, ah, it's not for me.
Right. All right. So yeah, I've definitely been there. Oh, I like it. You know, I like this, you know, but I'm tired of, you know.
Yeah, so, right.
Absolutely. So that's where structure has to come into play, you know, for me, in my experience, you know, just with my own children, you know, oh, I'm kind of tired. I don't necessarily want to do dancing anymore, you know.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, so, you know, we can always find ways of maybe sometimes giving a break, you know, but maybe a short break, maybe one weekend they don't go, but at the same time, remembering that we signed you up for this because you said you wanted to, okay?
Yes.
So mm-hmm. you said you wanted to. So let's stick it out. You know, you almost you almost make that deal, but it's not really make. I don't look at it as mm-hmm. making a deal. I just don't know. I don't know a better way of saying it. You know? Mm-hmm. But right. But yeah, absolutely. But remember, you wanted to commit to it. So even with my own children, this is what we need to do until a certain time. And then, you know, and then while you're doing this, and, you know, and that's the thing, you want to provide some sort of a structured choice making. Okay. Structured choice making mm-hmm. while you're still doing this for a semester or for whatever time you do it. Let's look at some of the other stuff that you said that you might like to do. Okay. Let's look at that and see, you know, and you always want to kind of put a positive spin on it. Not so much like, you know, right. you know, you said you wanted to do it. So that's it.
You're right. Right.
No, yeah. I mean,
so they won't want to commit to anything at all ever again.
Right. You want it. It's finding that balance with choice making. You want to encourage choice making. You want to do that, but at the same time, you want to structure it in a controlled way. Okay, so that it's the same concept of there are rules to every game. Okay, I look at choice making as a game. Uh-huh. You can't just play the game without knowing the rules. Otherwise, how do you know you're winning? How do you know you're losing? How do you know you're doing well? Choice making is there's that game that needs to be played. And with some other students, you have to play a little tougher with them. You got to be very tricky.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You got to be very tricky, and that also means knowing them, knowing who they are and what they're going to do, what they're going to say. Expect them, mm-hmm. you know their habits,
right.
But at the same time, you want to structure that choice. Okay, well, I like to kind of play that game with my kids, okay, you said you're going to do this, you said you want to do this, okay, we have to keep doing this up until, maybe till the month is over, okay, mm-hmm. but while you're doing that, let's look, what else did you want to do? Let's look into that. But you have to make a choice, okay? Mm-hmm. You give them that, you give them I'm not getting the right word.
That's okay. Yeah. But it's boundaries.
Those boundaries. There you go. That was it. Yep. Ding, ding, ding.
You're making the right signs with your hands. Right.
You know what I mean. boundaries.
That's really good, though. I've never thought of it that way of, yes, let's stick it out, but, encouraging the, what would be next? And it may get them to that point where they're through the tough stuff and they realize, the practice is hard, but the results are good. Mm-hmm. I want to stick with this. Mm-hmm.
And also with that, maybe depending on the situation, I would also say you want to assess, observe, assess what they're going through with that activity. Maybe they do need a break, maybe they need a break. Maybe they felt overworked in that area, whatever they're doing, piano lessons, ballet lesson, tap, soccer, football, whatever. Maybe they felt, the burden of that overworking, in those particular activities. So at that point you want to say, okay, let's take a break for 3 months, 2 months, whatever you want to do, let's take a break, because you could come into that wall right there that, where they create and they say, I don't know what I want to do, mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay. All right. You got about 3 months. Okay. After that, you're going to pick something. Okay. And you could use that. Well, let's put it this way. I wouldn't necessarily put it the way I just did. I'm a character. I don't know. I can be quite a character sometimes. That's not reality. okay. Let's take a break for this amount of time. Okay. Finish this month out.
Yeah.
Let's take a break for a while, Yeah, and in the meantime, this will give you some time to look over some stuff that you might want to do. You said, and you can even remind them of past things. Maybe they were, and I find this happening. Maybe there were in families, there were times where you couldn't provide that a particular activity because of work schedules and school schedules and, things like that. So they didn't get to do what they originally wanted to do, and they chosen this other activity, and now they're overworked by it. Maybe after a few months, maybe we can explore that activity you said before. Okay, remember when you said you like this, and that can get them, remind them of their first love, so to speak.
Right.
That
whole concept of hope.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Hope can get you through so much.
Right.
So true. We got one of our viewers, she said, both my kids want to learn to play the violin. I think it's because mom played violin growing up. And so do you often see that? I mean, we talk about experiences, with our kids, and maybe they haven't experienced like other instruments or other things like that, and they mm-hmm. just want to do what they've already heard of or know of, and they don't even realize all the other things. What might be an easy way to introduce kids to a more of a variety than what they're focused on?
More of a variety. I would say, I mean, really, a lot of times it just depends on, you know, again, your scheduling. Scheduling is so key, planning, you know, your schedules and things like that. So that can be a challenge in itself. You can always, you know, the great thing about technology is you can go on YouTube and you can find concerts all the time on lots of different instruments. You know, a nice little story. This kind of doesn't have too much to do with the question, but
that's okay.
It's sort of related.
It's a good story.
It sort of relates. A lot of times, I get students in the elementary, and their attitude towards recorder flute. Okay.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
I
see their attitudes towards recorder flute, and they kind of said it without saying it. Let's put it this way.
Right.
So you have some of the class clowns, right? there's always one, at least one, you know, and I would see students grab the flute, you know, after you taught them technique and everything, mm-hmm. you know, how to hold it, left hand on top, right hand on the bottom, mm-hmm. and then they would grab their flute and toot their whistle, so to speak. They're just right. you know, the whole time. you know, they like to do that, you know, like, okay, really? what did I just show you? Let's try that again, please. You know, and right. So one of the things I like to do is I like to show videos on YouTube that the school has granted me access. And I show them videos of professional concerts in the recorder flute, adult, professional, playing the recorder flute. I saw, I was able to show them this one concert where it was just a soloist that had a soprano, alto, tenor, and baritone flute, recorder flute, hanging. They had like an apparatus that had them hanging kind of at their chest level, you know, so that within a given song, you know, that soloist would, you know, they'd have the band in the background, mm-hmm. and that soloist would pick, you know, depending on the part of the song that they were at, you know, they would pick from the soprano to the tenor, and, you know, and kind of go back and forth depending on that arrangement. So you know, I would introduce it that we're going to watch a concert. Okay, y'all ready? Are you guys ready for this? No, okay, yeah, you know, like, okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah. you got the whatevers and you got the...
Right, yeah.
and then I see, okay, we're going to watch recorder flute in concert. We're going to watch kids, you know, I guess. no, actually, we're going to watch a professional, okay? Wait a minute. They're going to play the recorder flute on a live stage in front of an audience, I'll tell, in front of an audience. Uh-huh. You know? Okay, this happened in such and such place, and you know, and then mm-hmm. I would show them through my big touchscreen apparatus there, mm-hmm. and you know, they, and then I you get some of those students that'll be like, oh wow, you know, like who'd have thought they could use an elementary instrument as a professional instrument, you know, mm-hmm. you know, and so that would open up discussions among, you know, with me, with them, and that would open up a lot of questions from them as well. So that's my experience with that. So, you know, with that being said, you know, students will derive ideas of, you know, grandeur when it comes to, you know, instruments and what they want to do, mm-hmm. you know, through media. You know, media can be very helpful in that sense, you know. Yeah. So it's so yeah. you
introduce- well, media can be the opposite way too, but
yes, and yeah, that's why I said that.
yeah. But no, that's really good because you can learn complete music theory on recorder flute. and yeah, it's very inexpensive.
Yeah.
So, but then it can lead to any instrument that they want to learn.
Exactly.
And so it opens doors. And I think that's a really good point that you made, though, because like art, mm-hmm. we can do any form of art. Maybe you want to be a graphic designer. Maybe you want to do it on the computer. But if you don't understand the art techniques with a pencil,
mm-hmm.
You're not going to have the art techniques on the computer.
Right.
And it, all of these different creative venues that our kids, you know, it's like you said, the delusions of grandeur. They want to be this, you know, to be perfect and at the end before they start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And to just be able to show them, you know, just that there are professional artists and, you know, musicians and all these people who can do incredible things with the very simplest of just instruments or, you know, pencils, whatever they're uh-huh. given.
Yeah.
That is where the creativity comes from. It's from the person. It's not from what they use.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So yeah, just supplying that option, you know, the visual is key, you know, really just supplying that visual for them to see, you know, that there's so many possibilities with, you know, just picking it like your original question, just picking other instruments, you know, what have they done, you know, what artistry can come from other artists that have, you know, and you can see it all on video. You can see it all in you know, mm-hmm. if you show it to them, that's really it. It's they gotta see it. They gotta see it to believe it, so to speak. You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time. I was gonna ask. I have a couple other questions, but I want to ask you. Is there anything you wanted to say before we wrapped up? Because I just want to make sure that you have some time to. To say what's on your heart.
Oh, what's on my heart? Well, you know, I love doing what I do because what it is, what, you know, again, what it has done for me, you know, as far as music education is concerned.
I'm going to bring up your website too here.
Okay.
And if you're listening on the podcast, it's Mr. C's, so MRCS, homeschoolmusicacademy.com.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Thank you very much for that. So yeah, I do what I do because I've had teachers in the past, you know, that you know, had to discover me. You know, I've had to kind of, as an individual, I've had to kind of reach out and you know, try something else and try other things and really, you know, yeah, just the trying. So.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that you want to encourage, all homeschool parents want to encourage with their students, you know, with their children, is to, you know, the way you try and you kind of lead by example in that way,
mm-hmm.
you know, you try, you know, you're trying all these other things. They need to learn how to try as well and to have and to use their voice to say, yeah, I want to try this. I want to try that,
mm-hmm.
because you don't know where it's going to lead. And all, again, as I said before, all the electives have a connection to all the other academic subjects that are, you know, that are quote unquote necessary. Yes, they're necessary. But you can find a connection through the electives,
yeah.
you know, that reinforces math and science, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing when it comes to music. Math and science are definitely in there, but I always try to show my students as well that reading is also in there. Reading comprehension, you know, one can understand what the song is about just by the mood of the song and looking at the music notes in a almost in a sentence structure form, because music also tends to be a different language. And you can find social studies as well in music, because there's music history, there's, you know, there's geography, where, you know, different cultures, where does other types of music come from, you know, all of that. And so, yeah, you can find all those connections. Mathematics, you have fractional names for the notes, a quarter note, a whole note,
right.
you know,
oh, yes.
and giving a value. Okay, it's not just the counting of rhythm so much as you give a value to those fractional name notes, and you already understand length by understanding distance of or length of sound. You know, you make that connection, and, you know, there's math happening right there. So,
right.
That music has helped me in a lot of those ways. And I just want to be, I just want to give to other students, you know, what has been given to me, you know, and that it has a blessing. So that's what I'm about.
That's awesome. Yeah. And there's so much to be learned as, through music and arts and so many other things. And like you said, it's just it compounds, and it gives our children confidence in those areas that they feel like I'm dumb, I can't do school well, and you want them to know that they are smart and that they are gifted, and there are things that that maybe we don't focus on as much but are very important. And so thank you for sharing tonight. I this was a wonderful conversation, so much good information. Thank you all for joining us for this topic. I just want to thank Mr. C for his time.
Thank you for having me.
and definitely check out his website and the services that he offers to parents to teach music at home. So it's awesome. So we're, like I said at the beginning, we just started a new month's theme, and we're talking about electives. Next week we're going to be talking with Adelaide. I probably will not say her last name right. Ogolin from Talkbox Mom, and we're going to be talking about foreign language to help struggling students increase confidence. And so if you ever thought about adding a foreign language but thinking, oh, my student already struggles with English, she might have some good encouragement for you. So and also thank you, Right Shop, for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. We appreciate your support, and also for viewers like you who support us through your donations. We are 501c3, and so definitely check out our resources at spedhomeschool.com. We had a complete website redo this last weekend, so you'll have to check out our new space theme on our website. But but we just want to thank Oswaldo for his time, for all the wisdom that you shared with us, and just encouragement on your new homeschooling year.
Yes, coming up. Thank you so much. Yes.
And just encouragement to all of you too. You can do this, and it's just one step at a time. Through trial and error, as Oswaldo would say.
Trial and error.
So thanks everybody for joining us. We'll see you again next week right here on Sped Homeschool Conversations. Bye everyone.
Bye-bye.